This is CliffCentral.com. The Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous on CliffCentral.com.
Good morning to you at this beautiful Thursday. The Joburg's just beautiful. The blossoms are in the air. You can smell it. Spring is here. And I tell you, what a great show we have lined up for you today. Let me just run through the names. Okay, jazz legend Abdullah Ibrahim joins us on the line from Germany. We chat about Hedwig with Christopher Dungan from The Gate 69. We've got in studio three phenomenal actors. Play That Goes Wrong is on Monte Casino. And we've got Craig Jackson, Daniel Yanks, and Stephen Yabba in studio. And we're going to be talking about that phenomenal show. Okay, and Panther Boys. These are cool. These are cool for school. We'll chat to them. Nathaniel joins us. His show at Empress is called 30 Years, 90 Minutes. Oh, hello, Alan. It's so lovely to speak to you. I love Nathaniel. And I did see Mannequin, and it was brilliant last year. The man has got to be one of the most talented people. And what a top singer, really. We got him on the show. In studio, Garth Taylor, singer-songwriter, joins us to discuss. He's in a boxing match. And he's going to be fighting for kids, but the guy's not a boxer.
fighting kids?
Like, no, he's not fighting the kids. He's going to fight against somebody to raise money for charity. And the charity is called Little Fighters, and it's kids that are fighting cancer. We'll talk to him. And then, of course, Harry Sideropoulos is coming on the line. Harry is going to be here, and he's going to talk about the Psychathon, raising money again for a great organization, Spinning. I did it with him. We did 4 hours last year. This year I will not, because we're in Cape Town. But it's happening this Saturday, and we're going to chat about that. So what a nice lineup! Happy birthday, Nathan Rowe.
Thank you very much. Actually my afterbirth today. Yeah, my birthday was yesterday.
Oh well, that is absolutely brilliant.
Thank you so much.
And life is good.
It is good. Yeah, traffic this morning, however, horrible. I was speaking to you on the phone, and
we were planning the show in the traffic.
Yeah, and do you want to name and shame that horrible woman that was? She was making your life.
What are these people that are just too nice? Nice people. There is no time for niceness when you have to get to work. Okay, so these people that let taxis and buses and people cross the road and all the people come in front of them. Why did they have to find me this morning? The one woman traveled, seriously, for 5 kilometers. 5 kilometers. And in 5 kilometers, what she did was she allowed every person. It was the Good Samaritan who was driving me mad. In the end, I was flicking her.
That's awful.
I didn't flick her to herself, because she was so sweet. Every bus, the Gautrain bus, could come in front of her. The 17 taxis was okay. People walking across the street. Of course, every side road that needed to get into the main Rivonia Road or the outspan was allowed to come in through her. She was that person today. Literally, what takes you 10 minutes was half an hour. Lady, well done. You're a good chick. But thank you for aggravating me this morning.
I had a rusty Mazda 323 in front of me. And he was one of those jerks that pushes in front and then wants to drive 20.
I don't know.
I don't understand that. It's like, I'm in a rush. I'm not.
I've got to tell you, my family opened a Lebanese cafe restaurant in Johannesburg, in Sandton, in Morningside. So I have had just, besides, we've got Coaches or Us, the TV show. I've got the launch of Veranderding, the new show through the Landman and Amore Becker happening next week. I've been running a restaurant, helping the family, cooking with my mom in the kitchen and running around with my brothers. It's been brilliant, but it's a proper authentic, it's called a Rest Cafe in Morningside. It's a proper authentic Lebanese restaurant.
So would you say that this week you've been dealing a lot with?
Oh, food, glorious food.
But I'm guessing not hot sausage and mustard.
No, hummus and tabbouleh.
Doesn't roll off the tongue.
And kafta.
Sure, he's still allowed to say that.
Yeah, habibi.
Cool, okay.
So it's been Lebanese. But it's food, glorious Lebanese food. It's wonderful food. And argila and hubbly bubblies and whiskey and...
You know, I love having a Nagila bubbly bubbly.
In a moment, we'll talk to Daniel Jenks. I think he knows. He knows, and I know Craig Jackson.
Yeah, he looks Lebanese.
They know the Libs. You know, you people know these peeps. You know.
Yeah, you guys were all beaten up at school by Lib. Sure.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, Alan.
We're gonna have Abdullah Ibrahim on the line in a moment. So, tell us about Play That Goes Wrong. How wrong does it go?
Oh well, it's basically about 8 amateur actors. They're part of the North Riding Polytechnic Amateur Dramatic Society, And they've been trying to put on a show for years, but they haven't had the numbers, they haven't had the money, but this is the first time they've got the money, they've got the numbers, but they, unfortunately, I think beforehand, never actually got to rehearse together, because everyone's got their day jobs.
Right.
So they come in and, you know, two of them will do their scene, and then this is the first night that they are putting the show up. And as the title says, the play goes horribly, horribly wrong.
That sounds amazing. You guys also don't seem like the actors we usually have in here. Something
exactly.
Different. There's something different about you guys.
We're like jocks, kind of like.
Yeah, I get this like testosterone coming off cool. You.
We do a lot of film and television.
Oh, is that the difference? Yeah. Oh, so the stage guys are a different breed. Yeah?
Totally.
Into different things. Okay, so you guys are like the boots of the acting world.
Yeah, we're not musical actors.
Right. Okay.
We're single threats.
So were you handpicked for this play in particular? They were like, we need people that... do tell, Daniel.
Yeah, go, Dad.
Go, Daniel Jenks, the Lebanese person.
This is the second run of the play. And so we do have some new cast members in it. So not only are the things that are meant to go wrong going to go wrong, but some other things might go wrong as well.
Oh, that's but we won't know what's real and what's acted. It's kind of a...
Thankfully, you'll have no idea.
It's quite an existential experience.
These two are the new additions, Stephen and Dan.
Yeah, so quite possibly we won't know what's going wrong either.
Oh.
We won't know if we've nailed it or if we're off the mark. But wow.
Well, okay. In the previous run we did, which was in March, April, the first week, what could go wrong did go wrong, which shouldn't have gone wrong, but it did. Like, I cracked my head open on stage.
Really?
Yeah.
Glorious.
And then the elevator fell on Robert Fridgen's head during the show, and that Daniel's cracked his head open. That's Stephen's role. That's
and on that note, I hope Robert's doing well. Of course, as we heard, his show was pulled just recently because he had a stroke on stage. So
I saw him yesterday, and he's getting better and better.
Yeah. So. Wishes out to Robert Fridgen. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So I mean, that's again, that show was cancelled, and again, a lot of work went into that. But the best thing is your health. That you've got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, and he's a determined chap. So he's getting better and better. He's going to be up on stage soon.
So it's backed by popular demand. The play that goes wrong, and basically, I mean. Jana Lumley came out recently at the London performance saying, you laugh until tears run down your face, and it has to be seen. People that haven't seen it, it's like cavemen. I mean, it's one of those things. It's just one of those iconic productions and pieces that are just hysterical. Yeah. So we're going to talk more about it in a moment, boys. Thank you for joining us in the studio. We've got Craig Jackson, Daniel Jenks, and Stephen Yabba. But... do we have legends on the show? Guys, I'm sorry I got to interrupt you, because this guy is, of course, one of South Africa's greatest jazz legends of all time, international jazz legends. On the line, we have him from Germany. Abdullah Ibrahim, sir, how are you?
Welcome, thank you for yourself. Greetings to you and your listeners. Thank you.
Sir, it's so good to have you with us. And first and foremost, what are you doing in Germany?
Practice. You see, musicians are the things that are dear to their hearts are their instruments, right?
Mm-hmm.
So saxophone players and trumpet players and flute players, they will find the best instrument that they can afford. See, that's your first line of practice. Now, for a piano player, you need a home. If you want to get an instrument of your choice, it's dear to your heart, you must have a home. So, for me, the best piano anywhere in the world is Fazioli piano.
Mm-hmm.
This is a friend of ours, Paolo Fazioli, who created this instrument some years ago. And he's based in Italy, not far from where I am. So I purchased this piano, and then I had to find a home to put it. And I'm here with my fiance, and so we have a place where I can practice until such time that I can afford to buy and ship a Fazioli piano to Cape Town.
Okay, so that's
but
brilliant.
This affords me to practice.
In Germany, that's brilliant.
This affords me to practice and review some compositions that I wrote almost 60, 70 years ago that I never had time really to explore deeper because I'd been on the road trying, making money to support my family.
So you do come back to Cape Town to do the Joy of Jazz, and you had Artscape for a concert. Tell us about the concert that you have at the Artscape.
Well, this is solo piano. A solo piano concert. I've in some ways perfected this genre for myself for many, many years. It started in South Africa, where, of course, I'm a pianist, so I had to have a little upright piano that I could practice. And then I had to move around from place to place, Johannesburg, Cape Town. I lived all over South Africa. Then in Cape Town, if you recall, there was a show called, King Kong.
Mm, great.
And so all of the musicians that I played with, they all left and went with that,
so
with that show to London.
Mm.
I was left alone. And then in Kensington, in Cape Town, a friend of mine, Mr. Gordon, he was a Chinese businessman. He had a little a garage and a little practice center in Kensington. And I stayed there for 1 year and practiced piano. That's where he introduced me to Chinese food because I could cook some food. But I practiced there for minimum 20 hours a day for 1 year. And that's how I got the solo piano project together. And since then, I've been doing solo piano concerts all over the world. Because it's the first expression of my compositions as a pianist. And then I can expand it to trio and big band and philharmonic orchestra. Yeah.
So we're excited to see your show. It's happening soon. You love, obviously, jazz. You love music. And you are a legend in your own right. I want to ask you, who is your heroes in this business? Who do you love working with, if they're still around? And if they're not around, who did you love working with over the years?
Well, some of the people I've passed on, and some of them, if I do mention them, most of my mentors are people who make it implicit that they don't want to be known. And I think that is really the key for a true master, and this passing on of information and to a trusted student. Like, I've been practicing Budo, martial arts in Japan, for 50 years with my teacher in Japan.
Mm.
And so he's given me this accolade that I can now teach. His name is Sensei Tonegawa. People who inspired me in South Africa, for example, Kippie Moketse, saxophone player, clarinetist in Johannesburg, was one of the first ones who said to us that we should endorse our own music and expand on it. In the United States, it were people like Duke Ellington who actually invited me into his organization and into the band. And the lessons that I've learned from Ellington in terms of composition and also band leadership. And then from the jazz musicians, Thelonious Monk, who told me that when I told him that I was inspired by his music, told me that I'm the first piano player to tell him that. So we can mention countless of names, but the most important people are those unsung people who say to us, don't tell anybody about us.
Then let's just play the music.
It's not even a question of the music. See, language is a finger that points at the moon, but it's not the moon. See? So music is a vehicle, you know, and the vehicle is there how to for your self understanding and daily practice and investigating and trying to understand yourself and where do you fit into this to the scheme that, that God has given us. And it also has deals with your ego. This is the most wonderful and excellent experience, is that you look inward. That's what the practice does. So for us, performance is maybe 10%, practice is 90%.
Sir, I know you're going to carry on practicing there in Germany. We're going to get you back on the show in October. I want to give the punt, your show another punt. I also want to talk about your incredible life all over the world. Sir, thank you for joining us. And most importantly, I want people to go and book the tickets to the Artscape Theatre the 13th and 14th of October to see the one and only Abdullah Ibrahim. His two solo concerts. I know you're also at the Joy of Jazz, sir. Look after yourself in Germany. Write beautifully. Practice beautifully, and we'll chat to you when you're back in South Africa, sir.
Pleasure. Thank you so much, your listeners. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. The one and only Abdullah Ibrahim on the line from Germany. What a legend.
Yeah.
What a legend, guys. I mean, what a legend.
Oh, yes.
That is legendary stuff.
I think the key to becoming a legend is to simply take more time to say things.
Oh, spit it out.
Okay,
he
I'm
said
not
some very interesting things.
The man is 83 years old.
Jeez.
Okay.
Wow.
You go back from King Kong, and he had a band that that left him. Okay, it was called Jazz Epiphanies. Epistle, sorry. And they went on to England, and they actually went into exile with King Kong, and he stayed around. His band left him.
I bet they're kicking themselves now.
Do you know what? It's very interesting, but you talk about a cycle. Or a circle, in some respect. King Kong now opened this week at the Joburg Civic Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
So it's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah.
That there the show goes, and here's Abdullah Ibrahim, who's there. He had that choice to go along with King Kong, and he thought, "Well, let me just go do my magic." Hey.
Amazing.
That's brilliant. The guys in studio, that was the, again, unbelievable Abdullah Ibrahim. Nathan, wow, hey, what is?
That was amazing.
Listen,
yeah?
as a crooner. And as someone that loves jazz.
Yeah, I couldn't actually say anything to him because
I know,
it's like a grade one talking to the UN, you know. It's like,
see, that was my birthday present to you.
Aww,
Abdullah Ibrahim.
You.
Yeah, that was
guys worked with some insane people. I mean, Duke Ellington.
You can't beat that guy. That is crazy, guys.
I was quite intrigued by the fact that he studies martial arts with a sensei in Japan.
And he can teach it now as well.
And he dropped a little bit of like Eastern martial arts philosophy. That whole line about
Buddhism.
Finger that points to the moon.
Yeah.
That's martial art philosophy. And how do I know this?
You're a martial artist?
No, it was one of Bruce Lee's lines in Enter the Dragon. I'm not even joking.
So maybe that's what all he's been doing is actually watching Bruce Lee.
Just watching
the
chop socky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm now a sensei. No, I don't put it past him. I'm sure he's got the credentials.
So when we look at this production, the play... That went wrong. That goes wrong. It doesn't went wrong. It is wrong.
They got a new cast.
You got it wrong, Alan.
Everything's wrong. Okay, but I mean, if you think about it, it's described to theatre audiences as the Fawlty Towers meets Noises Off. London has won big awards at the 2015 Olivier Award Ceremony, Best Comedy. I mean, it's really one of those great pieces. Russell Savadier is in it as well, along with Roberto Pombo and Nicole Franco, and of course, you two cuckoos, and you, Craig Jackson, sitting in the studio. But again, what a great show. And if you had to say to people why they should go and see it, why would that be?
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's one of them, you know, the most fun nights you'll spend out, I think.
Especially this day and age, everything's so in the news, everything's quite depressing, and you know, it's just 2 hours of just laughter. It's just belly laughs, and you don't stop. Once you start, you just don't stop laughing for 2 hours.
Guys, what do you love about this business? I mean, I saw we had you on the show A while back.
Sure, last year. Annie. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
And then you were brilliant in West Side Story.
Cheers.
It was a great production. I mean,
you liked it? Good.
And
good.
Now all of a sudden...
It's coming back to Cape Town, by the way.
Now we're in comedy. Now we're on stage. Let's start with you, Craig. Craig, what do you love about this business? St. John's boy, you need to be an accountant or a banker.
Jeez, no, I don't have the grades, but...
Really? St. John's?
No.
What are you saying?
Sports scholarship.
You say the people that don't get the grades go into theatre?
Yes.
That is
yes,
not.
Absolutely.
No, it's... what I love about live performance is, the danger. There's a lot of danger in it. Corpsing, laughing, things going wrong, but... Laughter as well. I mean, it's just so lekker to see people bent over crying with laughter. Mm. For me, that's just the best thing.
Which is great because you feed off the audience like any comedian does.
Yeah.
For you, Mr. Jenks.
Abdullah Ibrahim says music is the finger that points at the moon. I think acting is the finger that points the way to the bathrooms. it's a tough industry and. We do it because we love it, and we love it because, for me, it's a calling. I mean, there was nothing else that I ever wanted to do.
Explain that notion. You see, because, okay, priests and nuns have a calling, and a lot of the times, this is important, because you've got a kid, and all they want to do is sing, all they want to do is be a part of the performance arts, and a parent kind of, guys, a lot of parents want their kids to be doctors and lawyers. I mean, that's what the normal thought pattern is generally. We've got to become an accountant and engineer, that type of stuff. But all of a sudden, there is this bright star within you that doesn't want to do any of that stuff. I mean, again, coming back to what you're saying, what do you think, how do you, it's a calling. How do you explain that to your parent, I think?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
I mean, would you tell your kids to get
Michael
into this business?
Caine, it was Michael Caine who somebody asked him what advice he would give to young people who wanted to become actors, and he said, "If you can do anything else, do it." Which is a funny thing to say, but I think if you go beneath the humor, it's not just about being able to do something else. There's nothing my soul would let me do other than this. It's just what I am.
But I think acting as well is overlooked in the corporate sector as well. I mean, you know how many people I've met, like businessmen at the top of their game, that are like, "Geez, don't you get nervous when you get on stage?" And you're like, "No, I really don't." And they're like, "Geez, no, I would die." And I always just think like, wow, I mean, I could go into business and probably take over a company because I'm just not afraid to speak to people of a platform. So like I think that's overlooked in like schooling as well, like just training people to be comfortable, you know. I mean, I know actors are often not comfortable in their own skin, which is why they wear everyone else's, but I mean, to be comfortable enough to, you know, speak to people like that. And don't you think like acting should be kind of more important than math? I mean, let's face it, we have calculators. You know, like, what do we really need maths for? You know, but speaking in front of a class, absolutely terrifying for people, you know.
Statistically, the fear of public speaking is the number one fear in the world. Statistically, people are more afraid of speaking in front of large groups of people than they are of dying.
Yeah. I'd rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy.
Totally.
Jerry Seinfeld, thank you very much.
Yes.
We're quoting a lot of people. I think in order to be a good actor, you have to embrace vulnerability in some way, and I think the embracing of vulnerability is crucial in all of life, and I think the more people that can sort of learn that, the better off we'd be.
Yeah, I think we need to make more balanced people. Like what Alan said now is basically there's a lot of square, like coming out of St. John's, there's a lot of, you know, circular holes, and you're basically a square peg. Yeah. So it's like, you know, we should kind of maybe have like a little Star of David shape hole, and then different things could fit into that.
Oh, so idealistic.
Wow, yeah. Man, I'm the cynic
in the group.
Getting to Kabbalah.
I'm just going to say that I chose acting because everything else was too much hard work.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing Ricky Gervais, because in the Christmas special of Extras, he went on about how he wanted to be a doctor, but didn't want to do it. Too much hard work, so settle on acting. I actually have an education in law. Didn't want to do it. Too much hard work. Settle on acting.
Good
Thank
one.
You.
Now, guys, we're going to chat to you more in a moment. The guys in the studio, Craig Jackson, Daniel Yanks, and Stephen Yabba, the play that goes wrong.
Or Jabba.
Jabba.
Ah, come on.
On the line, I've got to just tell you, if you didn't see Mannequin last year, you missed out on something truly incredible. One of South Africa's greatest, I think, theatre, not only TV, but I think stage artists, actors meets singers, performers, is Nathaniel. We have him on the line. The show opened at Empress Palace, 30 years, 90 minutes. At Emperor's, opened recently. It runs until the end of September. Nathaniel, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm fast asleep. I don't know what normal person with an income is awake now.
Well, thank you for taking the call and for doing the interview. Firstly, Mannequin was exceptional last year. It was a brilliant, brilliant production. What can people expect this year if they haven't seen it yet? The show, 30 years and 90 minutes.
They can, at this point, expect no parking. But, it is like highlights and forgotten things. It's not the greatest hit show kind of thing. I didn't do the obvious thing. And it's not a show that's about thank you for everything, I'm dying. It is, a lot of the music is from the past, but I've just released a new album, so there's music from there. And really, stuff that I've discovered, because the first 10 years of my career, people thought I was Satan, so many who are now fans of coming to the show do not know any of the stuff from the beginning of the career. So there's a lot of stuff in. And then there's a lot of stuff that's planned for the future, and new stories and new songs, and obviously all the costumes are new and stuff. And we printed a very nice program with everything from the past 30 years in, so that I don't have to do it. But it's a fast-paced show, and it's light, and it's the title 30 years 90 minutes gets a different meaning once you're in the show, so that it's not just, my mother said, if you do a show about yourself, God will come and take you. So it's a celebration of what happened and what the future might look and sound like.
Well, let's just talk about the celebration. More than 6,000 live performances, 79 stage productions, 17 music albums, 17 published books. Wow. 30 years, it's been incredible. What are some of the highlights?
The biggest highlight is that I'm still alive, I feel, and that I worked constantly. That when my career started, I had much shock value, and I upset a lot of people, and I was against the grain of everything that was normal in South Africa. But despite that, from day one till today, I worked every day, and it just grew. It was a lot of changes happening in the country. I don't think a lot of changes happened with me. I'm less naked than I was before. I look now at the first 10 years. I wore nothing for 10 years. I don't know what was wrong with me. But there were highlights like touring with Mimi Kutsa. There were highlights like performing at the Royal Albert Hall in London. There were... Every first was a highlight for me. There are other things that was exciting that came along the way, like doing the Nathaniel collection at Checkers with all the food, and starting the Calco business, and starting the etiquette program, and starting to write a column for 18 years now, and things that were not planned, and things that became completely unexpected, sideline. That to me is always the highlight. No, I don't have,
one specific
night. To me, a highlight is the night when I don't have to ask people to switch off their cell phones, because audiences have disintegrated, culture have disintegrated, and manners have completely vanished in this part of the world. So it's weird that people would pay money and come and sit and SMS while you sing.
And
I think a lot of people, I do think a lot of people don't make the distinction that you're now live and not on TV. They have to sit. It's a weird thing. But a good night with a good audience, because the audience makes the show, that's a highlight for me.
I want to tell you something interesting, and I like that you do it, and I like that you said it on the interview, and I like that you did it. When I haven't seen this production as yet. I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I know it ends next week, Sunday. But I'm very happy that you make it very clear to the audience that if I catch you with that phone on, you're out. That's it,
Yeah,
and you will.
with me, it's, there are a lot of artists who feel it spoils the evening. I don't. There are a lot of people who has not been brought up with respect. So we are falling apart as a society in many strange ways, and etiquette or basic manners, and technology has turned us into idiots. So the reason I'm on stage is so I can take you away. It sounds pretentious, but there must be a form of relief and transport in a show. You must take people to somewhere else. And I cannot do that if you and your sister are SMSing. Because in a theater where, or in a show for me, where half the show is all the magic is in the lights and nothing else. And if you put on a little light, you destroy it for people. And then I make an announcement at the beginning of the night. If you switch on your light, you are dead. And then you still do it. I'm sorry. Because to me, it's a thing. The theater is to me my working place, my office, my holy moment. I don't come to your work and interfere. So 98% of the audience are there to really see a show. But there's always an idiot or two who have no perception when they're in a situation of what it requires of them. And I feel it's my duty till I die to teach people that.
Well, I don't disagree with you because you do the production both in English and Afrikaans. If you're not completely fluent in Afrikaans, you have to focus constantly. Besides, obviously, the magic of the music, you have to be watching that stage with the lighting, costume changes, the music, the singing. And so you're right. It is distracting. It is most importantly that you as a performer, and I'm saying because we've got three top actors in studio with us, but you're performing to an audience. And guys, when you're looking in and you're feeding off that audience and you're seeing things like people getting up and going to the toilet, for example, it happens, I guess. But you're seeing lights and you're seeing people SMSing or people having an argument or talking. It distracts you and you can't focus. So you can't give your best performance. And I think that is also a part of the thing, is that you can't then deliver what you need to deliver.
Yeah, for me, I know what the show sounds like, and I earn so much money that I don't really care if you miss something. But thing is, I worry about the rest of the audience. And I don't know why God created me like that, but I do have an effect on prostates. I can see by the second song, people with prostate problems are crawling up the staircase to go and find air. And I do have an effect on middle-aged women's bladders. I've also seen that. But that can be solved. If there's a thing in South Africa, I don't use alcohol, so it's a thing for me to witness from the outside. People do not believe anymore that you can enjoy anything sober. You have to drink. If you have to drink, you have to pee. It's as simple as that. And people do not train their bladders for 90 minutes. And it says 90 minutes and no interval. It's just a grown-up thing. I don't allow children because the show is none of their business. I'm not naked and I don't swear, but they just irritate me, so they don't come to the show. But there is a form of maturity when you're with people and also have a bath and dress nicely like in the old days. I do blame all the art festivals and our braai culture and things. We have lost that sense of occasion. I want you to kill a cat and wear it and put on makeup and drip in diamonds and have a special thing and come to the theater like in the old days. But we've lost all sense of occasion, and it spills over to your birthdays. But the birthdays are special to very few people still, and Christmas is nothing anymore, and surprises are nothing, and they don't put a flower on the table in the middle of the week, that kind of thing. It's all got to do with a very sad loss that loss of surprise and of occasion, which is what my entire life and career is based on. So I have to protect it for the few people who still care.
And I think that's what it's about. 30 years, 90 minutes, I tell you, it's been a phenomenal life in this business. A phenomenal, what you've done across the arts world is superb. And I want to congratulate you. People have got to go and see it. Thank you for doing the interview and for getting up so early. We really appreciate it.
I will go. I'm going to have a cinnamon dumpling and go back to my dark and sad room.
I think
have a nice day.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. That is Nathaniel. The show happens at Emperor's Palace, the 30 years, 19 minutes. It is, it's happening up until the 24th of September next week, Sunday. Please don't miss it. Please. It is really, really good. Guys, again, incredible things that he had to say.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I said, this shows the legends. Okay, welcome, boys.
Thanks. Yeah, she was spot on, eh? I mean, we've seen a lot of stuff where you're concentrating on stage, you're doing your best, and guys are getting up, asking each other what they want to drink. It's like they're in watching a cinema, like watching a movie. It's like they don't realize
that. Find that in a cinema.
Dude, you do that in a cinema, and I will kick you in
the nose. No, but I'm talking about when they're actually, they don't think that you can hear them. They don't think the actors are conscious of what's going on.
But it does happen in cinema even now as well. People talk the whole time. Yeah. They get up. Yeah. It is.
And those bones. And this light.
The problem is that light.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's kind of cool if you're doing a show and you're taking a photograph of, let's say, I don't know, rock star on stage.
No.
But I mean, if you're in that type of environment,
Look with your eyes. People these days, it's not you haven't seen it unless you've taken a photograph of it. Mm. Look with
and
your
put
eyes.
It on Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Just look with what your eyes. Are you actually going to go watch like a performance in a video form on your phone? Later.
No, it's to tell the world, look at me, I went to see Bon Jovi.
It's called The Play That Goes Wrong, Craig Jackson, Daniel Jackson, Stephen Jabba.
Thank you, Alan.
As in the hut.
Right.
Just not spelt the same. But congratulations for getting that, millennial.
Thanks. I love your shirt.
Basically saying there's a
nerd shirt.
Yeah.
So Daniel, what are you writing at the moment? What are you up to besides this?
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Okay.
Very secret project. Me and a friend of mine are busy working on a TV miniseries.
Wonderful.
If anybody has any money that they want to give us, please get in contact with me.
I am a TV producer. I know people.
We'll talk afterwards when the entire country isn't listening to my idea. Excellent. So I mean, I think a lot of actors in South Africa don't just act because we have to, as Abdul Ibrahim says, provide for our family, although he's probably doing okay, right? Mm. I've never gone to Germany just to play a piano or trained in yes. Japan. I mean, we all do a million things.
And then, Stephen, what's you up to next? When you go back to Cape Town, you haven't left Joburg.
No, I have.
I mean, briefly.
I went back home and I hibernated,
But you love
Dan
it.
Dan was saying you can't just act. Well, I act and hibernate.
But I mean, are you not? But you're loving Joburg.
Yes. No, I mean, I didn't have to have my arm twisted at all to come back to Joburg.
Which is incredible because, I mean, when we interviewed you last year, it was your first Joburg stint.
Buddy, I'm laced with sarcasm.
Yeah. I know.
But I do have family here and that makes a huge difference.
No, but what I am saying, I get that. But what I'm saying to you is, if you look at it, Cape Town's been great to you, but Joburg's given you also a new lease. All of a sudden, you're doing different things, doing wonderful stuff, which is really cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's good.
Craig Jackson, what's next?
I don't know. It's a scary thing about being an actor. I'm supposed to do something in December, but that's fallen through, so I don't know.
Well, in the meantime,
I'll go on holiday.
Let's pack up The Play That Goes Wrong. Let's get that people to see it. When does it end? Tell us all about it.
It's starting next Friday, the 22nd of September, till the 15th of October. And then we're off to Cape Town from the 1st of November to the 18th.
Okay, so let's pack out. Please pack the studios out. I mean, the theatres out. Do it beautifully. And just basically come and see a phenomenal. I can't wait to see this, by the way.
You're not going to regret it.
Guys, thank you for joining us. Thanks for being with us. That's Craig Jackson, Daniel Jenks, and Stephen Jabba.
The Hut.
Great actors. What a show. Today's show. Isn't it such a cool show?
It is amazing.
It is amazing. It's amazeballs.
You're very good at getting guests, Alan.
I know. It's all for your birthday. Oh. It's my party and I'll cry if I want to. It's after birth today.
Grim.
We're going to chat to Garth Taylor in a moment. Garth is...
Garth, grab a chair. You know how busy the studio is. We've got the boy. This is the way we do it. The guys are brilliant. Please don't miss The Play That Goes Wrong. It's happening at Monty next week, starting the 22nd.
Brilliant. Yeah, we have to go, actually.
Oh, it's going to be... It is brilliant.
One of the things I love going to the theatre the most is the hope that something is going to go wrong. Don't you do that? You're like, I really kind of just hope someone trips and you know, not hurt themselves, but just embarrasses themselves a little. Just because it's like, that's... If I wanted to see everything perfect, you'd go to a movie. So I think that's why it's so great that, you know, this play exists, you know.
In studio, it's called Little Fighters. It's a charity. And Garth Taylor, who's is a top singer, a top songwriter. You've been around in the business as long as myself. I have been. Garth was famous in Durban.
Garth's pretty famous now.
Kisses from coast to coast, of course. I mean,
thank you. I like that guy.
But Garth, I've got to tell you, my partner lives in Durban. Durbanites, Durban men, Durban guys, the best.
Oh,
the best.
Thank you. Wow, thanks.
I love Durban.
And I'll vouch for the girls as well. Amazing.
I love Durbanese. So yeah, so seriously.
Thank you.
That's just a shout out to my B, because he lives in Durban. But Garth, you're absolutely from Durban. That's where you started your career. And you were like, you were Mr. like East Coast those days.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 1998.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah, it hurts when you say it out loud.
I know, it does. It does.
Wow, it's like... Good 9 years ago.
It was 9 years ago. What are you talking about? That's 20 years. We did 20 years.
What do you need, math?
Which, when we started.
I remember in the aquarium.
20. Do you remember?
Yes.
God, do you remember the aquarium?
Yes,
God?
I do.
Do you remember doing three talk live?
Yes.
In the aquarium.
Amazing. Yeah, I do. I do remember that. I was like, why would you want me on the show? Oh, because you're a Durban singer, man.
Yeah, Durban. And you had, what was the album? What was your number one hit at that time?
It was Why. Why is when I'm sad, I always think about you. Yeah, the deep voice from the thin Durban boy.
And you said it so perfectly. Lighthouse Family.
No, yeah. I just know that you've been compared to them like your whole career.
All the time.
I remember seeing you live once and you were like, here's a song just for everyone who constantly compares me to Lighthouse Family.
Yeah.
And I think you played, was it?
I Wish.
Was it I Wish? Wasn't it?
That was the I Wish song.
Oh, was it I Wish?
Yeah.
I thought it was Lifted. But just sing a little bit and we're long and show people how much like this guy you
should be lifted. Yeah.
So cool. I really love to be alone. But that's Lighthouse.
I don't know the words, I'm just going to make something up.
Yeah.
And here I am, sitting at Cliff Central, with Alan and his team, and they're having a good time. And
but you can hear it, hey?
Well,
here I am, having a good time.
So now, what's that like?
We should be lifting.
I mean, obviously, you have your own sound as well. But, I mean, having a voice that's so close tonally to this guy, I mean, does it irritate you or have you do you kind of embrace it? And
Absolutely. You know, there's nothing wrong with sounding like, because as we all probably know, there's nothing new in the world.
Yeah.
But also, if you think, they started at the same time, eh? It's not like he impersonated the voice.
Lighthouse, Lighthouse Family was
starting at the same time.
Exactly.
When you started, if you think about it.
Yeah.
So the comparison just happened at that point.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is the voice was the voice. Yeah. His voice was it. And that was before, Garth, with all due respect, that was before there was the Idol, the Voice, of the
long before that.
Coca-Cola Superstars, whatever those, I mean, I did one of them.
Absolutely.
Quite a few of these things.
So that's why we call ourselves Project Pioneers.
Pioneers,
because we kind of paved the way for the new South African music industry.
Yourself, it was Danny Kaye, it was Luis Obala, it was people like
remember
TK.
Cucumber Zoo? All these original sounds that came, Just Ginger, these original sounds just emerged. Sounds like, but not quite. And everyone's like, wow, South African music's going international.
Okay, your biggest hit back then, you're going to be singing for us. I want you to go warm up your voice. Okay?
Yeah.
Garth Taylor's in the studio. We also talk about Little Fighters. That's coming up in a moment's time. I want to just cross quickly through to Hilton, because Gate 69 had one of the best productions called Hedwig and the Angry Inch that was performed in Cape Town. It's now touring the country. Christopher Dagian is on the line. Hi, Christopher. You well? Are you there?
Yes, hi, Alan. How are you?
How are you doing, my friend? And, of course, you are one of the directors at Gate 69. Thank you for joining us. Tell us about Hedwig. What are you doing?
So we are at the Hilton Arts Festival at the moment. We're at the main stage, and Hedvig will be performing there for three performances.
I'm so happy it came out because people, a lot of people might have missed it in Cape Town, but all of a sudden when the Fleur Cup and then the Lady Awards and all these awards happened, often it happens in the movies and at the Academy Awards, that people go, oh my goodness, why didn't we see it? This is a production that needs to be seen. Do you agree?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's a world-famous production that has a huge following worldwide. And like you say, a lot of Cape Townians missed it, and we are not doing our very, very best to get it to the rest of South Africa. It's very important that everyone sees it.
Christopher, of course, Gate 69 doing phenomenally well. Cathay Pacific is there with you, and we've got, yes, of course, the Trolley Dollies doing their magic, and I believe that you guys have got a new production based on Macbeth starting sometime in October. We'll, yes, do an interview about that. What's it called? Wicked? What? It's called
the Adult Pantomime.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be crazy. And I believe the three Trolley Dollies are the witches.
Awesome.
Brendan Van Rijn, I love it. It's going to be superb. But I want to come back to being a part of that festival. Are you, yes, going to bring Hedwig to Johannesburg?
We are working on a tour at the moment. We aren't able to release dates yet, but it will be the first 2 months of next year, and sort of for a month-long run. The Joburg will definitely be able to see it. Like I said earlier, it's such an important production in terms of what's going on worldwide at the moment in terms of gender rights and gender fluidity and LGBT communities. So it's such an absolutely fascinating and world-class production. It's a South African first. It's never been seen in this country before, which is why we're getting this number. So absolutely determined to bring it over. And it did well in Cape Town, but like you said, so many people missed it. Nobody knows what's going on, and then you hear about the awards, and you know, next thing you know, you're kicking yourself. Okay. So,
I'm happy that you're just touring it with festivals. Is Paul still taking the lead? Is your cast the same?
The cast is the same. Paul Tour is playing Hedwig, and Jenny Galloway is playing the role of Yusuf.
Yeah, Jenna Galloway is outstanding. Paul Du Toit is exceptional.
Absolutely.
And of course, I know you directed it. It's brilliant. I'm happy that you're touring with it. At least if people are going to be at that festival, and it's a great festival, by the way.
It's a great festival. Yeah, very well attended.
Yeah, get to see it, because I know a lot of people will be leaving tomorrow to go and see it. So I wish you well. Christopher, we'll do some more stuff with the wonderful people at Gate 69. That's your project. And it's Christopher Dudgeon on the line. Thank you for joining us, my friend.
Thank you, Alan.
Be good. Look after yourself. That's Hedwig happening at the Hilton Festival. Wonderful. Also, KZN. We've got to go
love
all over
festivals.
The country.
Love festivals.
We've got to do the country. I mean, we've got to do stuff in Cape Town, stuff in Joburg. We've got to be at Germany. This is what the show is about.
I want to hear.
Is the unview the thin, the view, and the thin, the rich, and the
thin, the view, and the fat?
Shut up,
the
fish. It'll be a hell of a busy show.
I love the fitches too. Fitches.
Yeah. I just want to, yeah, well, let's talk about your boxing now. I want to hear more about this. So you're not boxing kids, eh?
No. Contrary to popular belief, yeah. quite often people have their tongue twisted. God Taylor's boxing kids. No. God Taylor's boxing kids with cancer. No.
Please.
I'm boxing for kids with cancer.
And do you know who you're boxing, all that?
I know the guy. He actually challenged me to rematch, which is how this whole thing got started.
Really?
I did a boxing match in 2016. Mm-hmm. And I think I was terrible.
But are you a boxer? Nick Durant's place?
No,
did you go off to that? And
actually, funny, the guy I'm fighting is from Nick Durant's gym. Mm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's an exceptional boxer.
But you box recreationally?
Kickbox. Kickbox. Oh, okay. I started learning kickboxing when I was in school, when I was bullied, you know? Being a musician amongst all the rugby players. I was rose amongst the thorns.
What school did you go to?
Abdullah Abraham.
No, I went to school in Zimbabwe.
In Zim.
Yeah, okay. I got taken away to Zim and put into a horrible school called Plumtree. Okay. Ugh, jeez, what a terrible
and
school.
And you had to learn to kickbox to defend yourself.
Well, it was just before I left Plumtree that a guy started teaching me how to punch. So I couldn't fight, but I could at least throw back, and so I started doing that, and I stopped getting bullied a lot at Plumtree. But when I left school, I vowed nobody's going to touch me again. Mm. I was literally beaten almost every day. I was one of the only guys who was like a senior getting bullied by juniors. Get that.
Wow.
I was like, I was in form two and the form oneers would beat me up. I was like, no, this has got to stop
sounds,
at some stage.
Zimbabwe sounds hectic.
It's just Plumtree. That Plumtree school was horrible because it was like a boarding school out in the middle of nowhere. So I was like, yeah, send your kids here.
Yeah. So by the time the parents knew about it, your bruises had healed. So
exactly. Like, insert evil laugh.
Yeah.
So where are we fighting for little
fighters, little fighters, cancer trust.
Cancer trust.
I'm actually doing the fight at a place called Scarlet Ribbon in Edenvale, Stone Ridge Shopping Centre.
Yes,
That's on Friday night. It starts at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 7. First fight. There's 8 fights on the night, and there's actually some exciting bouts because I don't know if you know this, but white collar boxing is where accountants and lawyers and I don't know, you know, drivers and whatever, whoever get to go and test out their skills in the ring. So they've been training, you know, boxer size came about and everyone's like, okay, so now I've been hitting a bag, when do I get to hit a person? So they created this white collar boxing. So anybody can go, a doctor can literally step into the ring. In fact, the guy that I'm fighting is a physiotherapist.
Okay.
Which is convenient, you know, after the fight.
He can just sort you out.
Sort me out. You know,
just go for his hands. That's his weakness.
Yeah, I just grab his wrist and bite it or something. Yeah. Not allowed that.
I think it's incredible that you're doing this. And obviously all the funds for that entire night are going to go off to these kids.
Yeah, you say funds. People have been very slow in donating, and I find it quite strange because it's not like I'm taking the money. You know, people.
That sounds like Conor McGregor.
Yeah, exactly. It's not money in my pocket. Exactly. It's not the big money fight. Well, not for me, at least.
Well, that's the most important fight because is that you're helping them fight for their lives.
Exactly true. You know, I don't mind stepping in the ring and having the crap beaten out of me if these kids are going to have at least a little bit of a chance.
Well, you had the whole of Form 1 and Form 2 to train. So.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I mean, you know how to take a punch.
I know how to take a punch. Yeah. Throwing one, let's see on the night. But it's going to be happening there. You can also donate on the night. We're going to have a box there. And that obviously, if anybody ever wants to know where their funds are going, there's an open book at Little Fighters Cancer Trust. They're very transparent in where the funds go. It's literally to help the kids. So if you imagine your kid has cancer and you have a job and you have a house and you have a car, trust me, you're going to lose all of that. If you're not wealthy, you're going to lose everything because chemotherapy, radiation.
And if you don't make the edge, you'll be really on
exactly.
On
so now this is what the Little Fighters Cancer Trust looks after. And this is what I'm trying to help because they rely on the public donations. They rely on other people. It's a private entity looking after over 1,000 kids throughout South Africa.
I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
No, I've heard of it, yeah, because
we need to get them on the show, actually.
A friend of mine's little daughter had developed young cancer at the age of 6.
Whoa.
And, you know, it's you can't imagine what you must go through as a parent.
Yeah, sure.
You know, having to deal with that.
Can you imagine having to tell your 7-year-old kid, listen, my boy, I love you very much, but you have 6 months.
Yeah, no.
It's crazy.
No, it kills me. I've got a video up on my Facebook page, actually, of a kid called Muhammad who, as one of his last wishes, and I call it that with a big teardrop in my heart, is to go touch a dolphin. So they flew him from Port Elizabeth to Durban, to an aquarium. Netcare actually got him involved, and they flew this little kid there. The video of, you have to go see this video. It's on my Facebook page, Garth Taylor. Go check it out, and you see this little kid getting airlifted to Durban. When he arrived, he took a turn for the worst. He got put into ICU straight away. When he was able to be conscious, let me put it that way, they took him to the aquarium where he could barely lift his arm to touch the dolphin, fed the dolphin a few fish. They took him back, flew him to pee, and this poor boy, Muhammad, passed away. This Friday is the anniversary of his birthday. He would have turned 8 this Friday that I'm fighting.
Wow.
So we're fighting in his name.
It's for real. Yeah. It's for real.
Yeah. Real stuff.
Yeah.
We can get you to sing in a moment. There's another important cause that I want to do, if I can. On the line, we've got the one and only Harry Sideropoulos. And Harry is a part of the Psychathon, which happens this weekend. Harry Sid, welcome to the show, Harry.
How's it, Mr. Ford? Good morning, and how's it to all your listeners? How's it?
Good.
Thank God.
It is summer. It's good, my Greek friend. I know that you've been traveling the world. Garth Taylor is doing a boxing match this weekend for Little Fighters Cancer Trust, and then you're involved, and you and I have both been involved in the Psychathon for years.
That's correct.
Tell me all about it, and tell our listeners what this is about, Harry.
So basically, this has been around for about 18 years. I've been involved with it in the past 6 years. It is the brainchild of this amazing woman called Denise Modlin, who is a personal trainer and has been a personal trainer and a very successful one for like over 40 years. And it started off just as a small little cyclothon with, like, you know, 40 bikes. And it has, you know, it's grown into this amazing event that takes place every year at Melrose Arch. But also it's been taking place nationally in the past year. Yeah. So I've been traveling with her in, you know, Port Elizabeth and Durban and Cape Town and Pretoria. We did Midland Park about a week ago. So it's in conjunction with the Smile Foundation, which is an amazing organization that helps children that are in need of surgery, specifically to assist them with defects that were around from birth.
Yeah,
and we decided to do it really fun and have a cycle for.
Is hospice still involved, Harry?
Sorry?
Is hospice still involved?
I think hospice, yes.
Hospice is what, yeah.
It takes place at Melrose Arch this weekend, and it starts on Saturday from 7 in the morning is the first hour. And it's thanks to Planet Fitness, who have supplied all the bikes and have been supplying all the bikes for years. Some of the people hosting the actual cyclothon hour, the trainers, are from Planet Fitness. So it really, really is a fun morning. And I mean, I don't get on bikes. I of course, facilitate it, and I just caution it. And people who want to be part of it and don't want to cycle, you're more than welcome to. You could just come and just put your ass on a bike, or just come and support me. As long as you come and support, it's 170.
It's 170 bucks. Come and support it.
What if you don't have a bicycle? I don't have a bicycle.
No, the bicycles are there. You just jump on them. That's how it works. So we'll get Garth Taylor there.
You jump on them and you don't eat. Like, I mean, you know, you're like, some of the trainers get like really hardcore. I'm not hardcore.
So, but
I just walk around and
just... I've just got one question about this bicycle, right, if I may.
It's a spinning box.
You say put your ass on the bike, right? But what about the rest of your body?
Well,
I mean, hopefully the rest of your body follows suit.
Otherwise,
you might need to speak to Smile Foundation. Okay.
Harry Sideropoulos, thank you. I know you're going to be singing. What are you going to be singing on the day? I know you always give a song.
I'm doing something Greek this time round. I'm singing something Greek. And it's Harry's Happy Hour from 12 to 1 o'clock. So even if you haven't gone online to book, you can just arrive at the Melrose Piazza. I call it Piazza where the Tashes is. And you'll see all the bikes there. They're under a tent. There's hydration. There's more hydration. And, of course, it's good. It's good fun. It's for a great cause.
Harry, two quick things. Don't forget, it's this week's Saturday. Secondly, you've got to come visit us in studio. We've got to have you in. We've got to get you playing with us.
And
my family's just opened a Lebanese restaurant in Morningside. You've got to come eat with me.
You haven't told me about it.
And that just opened. I need to get you to me.
So for God's sake, just give me a date and let's go.
Of course, Harry. I love you. Goodbye.
Okay, ciao guys. Cheers. Bye.
Tough. Harry Sideropoulos, we love him and doing such great work. Garth, before we leave, it's happening Friday night in Edenvale. You can go to your Facebook page. It's called Little Fighters Cancer Trust. If you can support it, do it. If you can't be there, do it anyway and help them.
Absolutely.
Give us a song. Are you gonna? I think we should get him to sing Why. Hey?
Yeah, well, do you want to sing along to the song?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah, let's.
All right, let's do that.
Okay, come on. This is why we do it.
This song.
Takes you back to 1998.
Why is it when I'm sad, I always think about you?
This is your song, boy.
Why is it when I'm lonely, I just can't do without you? Why is it when I smile, I forget you're always there for me? Surprise, you were not there for me with your love.
I feel like one of those presenters that sing along to the music.
But this is your music.
It's mine.
It's your hit, and you wrote this thing.
Because I miss you.
Carry on singing, my brother, because you're going to take us out.
And I just can't deny.
On that note, thank you very much, Abdullah Ibrahim, for joining us on the show. Christopher Dudgeon from Gate 69, the special guest in the studio. The Play That Goes Wrong at Monty opens next week with Craig Jackson, Daniel Janks, Stephen Jabba. Thank you, Nathaniel. You've been superb. Harry Sideropoulos doing it for the Psychathons, for the Smile Foundation, and for Hospice. And don't miss the one and only Garth Taylor, who is Little Fighters Cancer's Trust. It's happening this week. Nathan Rowe, it's been a great show.
It's been quite the show. So good. See you next week.
We're not here next week. We're on the road. Nathan and I hit the road. We're going to be filming. But it's so good to be with you. Thank you, South Africa. The great talent that you are there. Please be safe. Be good this week. Sachtan, eat lekker. And most importantly, this is The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. Goodbye.
This is CliffCentral.com.